All righty, let's get our Bibles ready. Brother Goddard's going to come preach to us now. Come on, Brother Goddard, you preach to us.
Amen. Well, I have never felt so in front of, I don't know what colors those are. I'm colorblind, but I know this is not how we decorate for a men's thing. But anyway, thank you for the good music and the faithfulness here. We're going to be in Daniel if you want to turn to the book of Daniel with me this morning. Daniel chapter 1 and then Daniel chapter 4. And it's always good to be at church with the people of God. I was thinking about this morning at my church. I didn't figure you'd hear the preacher enough, so I'll shut up during blessing time. But the blessing, my son's in my pulpit this morning. And any minute now, he'll be preaching. And my son-in-law is overseeing all of our children's ministries. And my son is not just preaching, he's overseeing our youth department and all the adult ministries today. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to have young people who've grown up and done right and stayed faithful. And I am surrounded by that. And there's a lot of blessings in the Christian life. But I was thinking this morning about you that did already, or some who are right now here, teaching Sunday school. And in my church, teaching Sunday school, I thought, there are people of all ages taking an eternal book. I mean an eternal book. There's no book like it ever in the history of the universe. This is the only book that's an eternal book. And taking an eternal book that tells about an eternal God and tells lost, condemned sinners how to have eternal life, to go to an eternal home. And old fleshly people like us this morning have been able to open this eternal book up and teach it to never dying souls, and their eternal destiny was affected by that book. And I thought, you know, you want to make a statement, you want to make a difference, don't kneel during the national anthem. Amen. Teach an eternal book to eternal souls. You know, isn't the world shallow? And the world is so shallow, I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to wear a pink band on my arm. Oh, get a life. And I don't think it's wrong. I just think, who cares? Do something forever. Go to the jail and witness to somebody at the jail who doesn't think anybody in the whole world loves them, who thinks everybody's given up on them, and they might be right. And you bring them the story of everlasting love, of somebody who did not give up on them. That's making a statement. You want to do something big? You want to do something enormous? Put some money in that envelope, mark it for missions, and have that money go to Nigeria or Kenya or Yugoslavia, and have the gospel carried via our dollars to a country that would not hear the gospel. And up in heaven, you're laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, thieves don't break through and steal. That's something eternal. It's not driving a Prius. Now, no offense, if there's Prius drivers in here, no problem. God bless you. I drive a GMC pickup. It gets terrible gas mileage, and my gas mileage does not hurt the environment nearly as much as the Tesla's battery production. I've done the research. All right, I am stepping on environmentally secure toes here. But I think, anyway, just want to... I mean, Brother Johnson's not here. Somebody's got to be offensive, right? Sure not the warm and fuzzy two that were just up here. I didn't mean the lady who sang. I meant the guys here. Anyway, hate to offend a lady, because we know that if the ladies get offended, then the world comes to an end. But I love the church. I love being around people who are making a difference for eternity. You know, you... Your years have taken their toll, perhaps, on your energy, but you can still pray. And your prayers cross the oceans. This morning, we're staying at Brother and Mrs. Smith's guest house, and I've been there so many times and thinking how many memories God has given us there of our family. But I took time today and prayed over those missionary cards that cover the refrigerator. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many of these kids I'm praying for are grown. Because you know how missionary cards are. They get on the wall and they stay there. And if you're like me, I've got two or three on top of each other, but some of them, I think, yeah, they don't even live in that country anymore. Their kids are somewhere else. But that I can take my time to pray for somebody who's doing something eternal in another country, and all of a sudden, from my frail human body, an eternal work is being done clear across the globe. That's making a difference. And I don't mind if you drive a Tesla or a Prius or if you hug trees. But that's not eternal. Eternal is the things that God instructed us to do. You want to do something forever, just walk around the property. We get done here in about 3.5 hours when I'm done preaching. And just walk around. There's no clock in this room. Man, we are hurting. I don't wear a watch, so we're just going to go till we stop. But walk around the property and speak to the little children that rode a bus today. Just talk to them. You know, those kids are eternal. They don't know much about adults that love them. Maybe. Some of them might be from very good homes. But, man, I walk around the property on Sunday morning at our church and talk to kids and shake hands, and I'll bring candy in my pockets and give it to them. You know, the big question is, do you give out chocolate that'll melt and be all over, or hard candy they'll choke on? Or gum that's stuck everywhere? I mean, there's no winning, right? I'd say give them carrot sticks, Brother Evans. But I walk around the property talking and think, and that little kid is a forever little kid here. And my kindness and my thoughtfulness. You know, Jesus talked about giving a cup of cold water to somebody. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be brilliant. You just got to care. And there's nowhere in the world that your caring can make a difference like the place that preaches the Word of God to children and teens and adults. And I love it. I love the ministry. I love the church. And the church is the greatest thing. And one day the trumpet will sound, we'll all be gone, and Brother Moravia will be left to take down the decorations by himself, and it'll just be wonderful. I don't see him. I'm making fun of him, but he didn't want to hear me preach this morning, I guess. But are you in the book of Daniel yet? Daniel chapter 1, and we'll be in Daniel chapter 4. Why don't we stand for a moment, get our blood circulating a little if you can. If you can't, if you're already asleep, just stay seated. We don't want anybody sleepwalking here. You follow along as I read in Daniel chapter 1. And right at the beginning, remember, if you know the story, Israel's messed up for a series of many, many years. God has patiently put up with them. Finally, they were conquered by Babylon, carried away to the east, our modern-day Iraq area. And there they are. And Daniel is a very young man who is taken away captive, his city destroyed, family probably killed. All that he held dear was gone. It had all been, I was going to talk about who they might have elected to the White House, but I won't get political here. But anyway, the world had come to an end for him. All right, look at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And that means they just built little stops and places around town where no one could get in, no one could get out, no food in, nobody got away. And they wouldn't try to bomb it yet. They starved them and they threatened them. And they just, sometimes it'd be a three-year siege. They besieged the city. And verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now that's a key statement. The Lord gave Jerusalem to the heathen. Because Jerusalem had not followed God. All right, let's pray. Father, bless us today. We are grateful to be here, grateful for the church. For 2,000 plus years, your people have gathered in hiding in public, in beautiful buildings, in little hidden catacombs, and houses, and under trees. But your word has been preached, and the Christ lifted up. And thank you for this church. Thank you for those who have invested financially and in their time and their energies for big days like this Cowboy Carnival weekend, and for special things, projects around the church to build buildings, to put up these beautiful fences to try and keep some safety and security. And the people who make the church, thank you for them. Thank you for our country, for our leaders. We ask your blessing on our leaders. Would you move in the hearts of lawmakers? Give us liberty, God. Give us freedom in our state and in our nation, that we might keep printing Bibles and keep training preachers to carry the gospel to the world. Lord, we need you. We ask your help. We have one little corner of the globe right here in this little spot at Shasta Baptist for a few minutes together. Would you bless our moments here? Bless Brother Johnson as he preaches. Thank you for his faithfulness and his dear wife, their wonderful, faithful lives these decades. Not many churches have a pastor stay this long and this faithful. Would you bless him in a special way for the battles fought and for the price paid and how much they've given us. We're very grateful for them. Bless our day now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Keep your Bible open right there. And so as we think today of the story of Daniel, I want to talk about the simple statement, the Most High ruleth. We're in a political time of year, and I think somebody said that this microphone, that'll go on there. So I'll mess up the PA guys, I often do. I'll come back and forth from this one to that one so you don't play checkers and go to sleep on me. But picture this, Daniel, far from where he is now in the story, but back home in Jerusalem, the city of God, the beautiful city, the city that was just the epitome of beauty and power and prestige and prominence and influence, but they got away from God and they drifted further and further from God, and they made a mess of things. And in so doing, the northern half was carried away by Assyria into captivity, and what was called Israel and Judah, that split happened, and the northern half was gone. Now down here, the southern half of Israel, Judah, Jerusalem being the capital where Daniel was from, and little by little, God gave that city over more and more, and three different major attacks and people being carried away, and attack and people being carried away, and finally the story of Daniel here. Here he is. His city is literally destroyed, brick by brick taken apart, buildings burned, everything falling apart, schools, churches, homes, people killed, slaughtered by the millions. But in the plan of God, Daniel, as many others, they survive. Now, far from home, Daniel is in the place called Babylon. The language is different. The food's different. I don't know how many of you have traveled to other countries, but I remember the first time I was in the Philippines. I spent 2 weeks over there, and I ate what they put in front of me and did whatever we could do and preached and saw people saved. And it was just a great time visiting people that we knew and preaching and soul winning. And I remember we were about 10 days into the trip, and we hadn't seen anything even close to American. I mean, nothing. And we were visiting, our first time, so we visited about 8 different churches in several different islands. And we're sitting in an airport, me and 2 men from my church, and we look over, and just a little bitty box, I mean, smaller than this, shorter than this pulpit, but about that big, and it said 2 words, good humor. And my mouth started watering. I hadn't felt anything cold for 2 weeks. And this is good humor ice cream at the airport. And I bumped the guy next to me and said, look over there. And one of the guys ran there first, bought an ice cream. He went back, started sitting down to eat. We got back, we both bought 2. And just to have something cold in your mouth in a tropical climate. And he said, you got 2? Well, it was your fault. You're the pig that went first. So he ran back and got another one. And we just sat there scarfing ice cream and being American pigs and loving every minute of it. But you know what? Just 2 weeks and something American tasted. If you've been overseas, you know what it's like. My wife and I had the privilege of going to Europe. Somebody paid our way and got to travel. And the food is just weird. You know, just give me, I don't even like the South. I went to the salad bar in North Carolina. There was no salad. There was hush puppies. There was deep fried catfish. There was fried everything. There was no salad at their salad bar. I said, man, honey, this is not California. But anyway, we enjoyed it and gained 12 pounds. But think about Daniel. His parents are killed. Probably siblings killed or at least gone. His church gone. Pastor gone, school gone, his home's gone, his country's gone. I mean, it would be like Washington, D.C. being wiped out for us. It'd be like our homes, our schools, our churches, our livelihood, and being drug away to another place. And here, it's a hard place. Food, music, language, everything. I doubt that Daniel grew up learning Babylonian. You know, we act like he's going from California to Arizona. It wasn't as far, it was maybe 800 miles, but it was a totally different world. And he's just a boy. Just a boy. And if you look there where we read a minute ago, in verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, as the king, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Because they had done wrong, God said, Nebuchadnezzar, you come on down here, and I'm going to give this place to you. Now let's just make this clear. No matter how lonely Daniel was, God was in control. No matter how many tears he wept, God was in control. No matter how grievous the loss, no matter how morbid the memories, God did not die. And God was faithful. No matter what Fox News said, God was in control. No matter what screaming, passionate warnings came from Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, God was in control. And we need to understand, as he says this, and right there in the verse, we're back to this one. Got to be quick. At our church, I say leave them both on. I'm going to throw a mic at you, but I don't do that here. But anyhow, I don't know how PAs work. I have no idea. Have you ever wondered? I hardly understand two tin cans and a piece of string. I surely don't understand a cell phone or a PA system. And I sure don't understand pastel-colored balloons behind me. But anyway, there he was in Babylon. He's a foreigner. He was a misfit. But not just a foreigner. He was a prisoner in a land that had been attacking and abusing people, nation after nation after nation. It wasn't just Israel that they'd taken over. They took over dozens. God had given Nebuchadnezzar literally the known world. These were violent, killing, murderous. I mean, this is the Hitler of their day. And that's where Daniel was taken. And not only was Daniel taken there, he was now asked to serve the Gestapo. He's a kid, 14, 16 maybe. Wasn't much old. I don't believe he could be older than that. Could you imagine a young man with any deeper hurts? You know, people talk about, I just need a safe zone where people won't say mean things to me. Oh, get a life. That kid needed a father. What is wrong with us? And when's the last time you heard that Bible verse, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That needs to be resurrected in America. I mean, you know, a lot of you are older than me, so you know this, but at our school, if you were crying, they'd say, it ain't bleeding. Thank God when adults had a brain. I don't know how many times they made fun of me. Oh, sticks and stones may break my bones. You'll be fine. Go play. What a country we used to have. Of course, we took the Bible and prayer out, right, in the 60s. We approved the murder of babies in the 70s. We gave the whole country over to rock and roll in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And now all of us hear it in our commercials and our movies. That's what that mute button's for. What a mess our country is. Some of you that are younger don't understand. This is a mess we're in. But God's in control. That's the whole point this morning. Look over to chapter 4. All this mess. This looked like, by the way, Daniel looked like the loser. You may, going back, fellas, you may feel like you're here. And you may feel like your home, your marriage, you might have lost a marriage, lost a child. Your parents might be a mess. Your business has been ruined by governmental regulations or just by poor management. You may feel because of your, and you fill in the blank, that you're the victim, that you've been hurt, that you've suffered, that you've struggled. Could you understand this one thing? God's in control. You say, well, God's not in control of bad things. Oh, you need to read your Bible a little more. He says, I am the Lord. I create light. I create darkness. I create good and I create evil. The Lord hath made all things for himself, the Bible says, even the wicked for the day of judgment. God even makes bad people. God called Nebuchadnezzar down to Jerusalem and said, here, take it. God allowed those things to happen. And whatever happens in Washington, D.C. in the next couple of months is no surprise. God's not up in heaven saying, oh no, just what is going to happen? If the people, if so-and-so doesn't get the votes and, oh, what will happen if the Supreme Court God is not wringing his hands this morning. He's Almighty God. And he's always good. And he's always true. And you know what's great? He loves us. I have a God in heaven who loves me. And someone might say, oh, you're the loser. I've got a quote someone gave me yesterday. Hillary Clinton said, I'm not endorsing or unendorsing a candidate, I'm simply making a statement. She said that the political world is going to have to get people to change their religious convictions. She came right out and said that. And but they've always felt that way. But you know what's great? Is no matter how ugly it looks, and we may look like the loser, let me tell you something. When the trumpet sounds, you're the winner. I just finished teaching a 12-week series in our adult Sunday schools on steps to the eternal kingdom. And man, you get way, way down from the rapture to the marriage supper of the Lamb to the judgment seat of Christ, where you're rewarded for every dollar you put into the ministry, for every tear you shed, still believing in God. You know there are rewards promised when you hurt and keep your faith. When you suffer and keep believing, God's just chinking them into your retirement pension. When you hurt unjustly and you love your enemy, you're just loading up your IRA. And down here, we get into that millennial kingdom. We reign and rule with Christ. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven comes down, and the bride comes down as the new Jerusalem comes down as a bride adorned for her husband. And you're there, and you read about it. And the Bible says that the nations bring their glory to us. I'll tell you, I don't have time to talk about it, but it is going to be awesome. Can I just tell you? You win. You win. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not yet saved, you can join the winning team, or you can be on the Lakers. Because they're going to lose again this year. And I used to be a Laker. I was a Laker fan since I was a kid, but I finally had to give up and become a Warriors fan. But anyway, I mean, you can only lose so many times before you get discouraged. It's like being a Cubs fan, right? I mean, I don't even know if there are Cubs fans left on the planet anymore. But anyhow, look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel, the king had a dream and some things were going to happen, and Daniel's talking to the king. But I want you to notice in chapter 4, verse 17, God does not repeat himself accidentally. He repeats himself on purpose. Daniel 4, 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know. Here's the reason. Doesn't matter what's going on. You can read the story. But here's why it's going on. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God gives kingdoms to whoever he will. And look at the end of that verse. And setteth up over it, and I was going to put a political party in there, but I'm a guest, so I can't do that. And setteth up over it the basest of men. Oh, here the king sat. He's in his royal apparel on his glorious throne. He had his home, his family, his nations, his wives, his harem, his wealth. You know what? He was dead meat. He was in big trouble. Here Daniel came, far from home, a slave. Everything he loved gone. Everything he held dear gone. You know what? God's not dead. He's the winner in this story. Understand this. If you cling to God, God is in charge. And if you don't cling to God, he's still in charge. You say, I'm just scared to death. You're still safe. I remember years ago, Brother Moravio, he and some guys taught us to rappel when we were just young Christians, just out of high school. And I remember taking a group of guys up and girls up to the rocks up a place called Natural Bridge. And I had this girl. We put her, had two ropes going down, this girl, and she just got off the edge and went, she was fine. She just thought that was the funnest thing, jumping off on a rope. And then we had this big old tough football player. He's inching his way over the side. Now, they've got a rope. They've got a harness on them. They've got a rope around them. The rope's up to somebody up there. If he let go of everything, he'd just hang there. They're totally safe. And he gets about 10 feet down, and he freezes. He is so scared. He just, I can't do it. 250, 300-pound football player, scared like a girl. Not like a girl. The girl went down fine. He's scared like a 250-pound scared boy. So I go down on the other rope, and I get underneath him. I pry his fingers off his rope, get him to sit on my chest, finally get him down. Do you know he was as safe scared as the girl was? He went zzz, zzz, zzz. You know why? Because our safety's not in us. The Most High rules. And that doctor report that's coming in this week, God already knows. And he's already in charge. And those grandkids that you're worried about, God is already there. Look down a verse or two more. Same chapter. You there with me? Look at chapter 4, verse 25. They shall come and drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, a second time he says the Most High rules. God's in charge. Now, the soldiers that destroyed Jerusalem, they thought they won. Oh, no, 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 they didn't win. And it doesn't matter, you know, when I grew up, everybody worked in the lumber mill or out in the woods and all of that shut down. God's still in charge. The economy can go bad. God's still in charge. The politics can go bad. God's still in charge. Our health can go bad. God's still in charge. The government can close down our churches, plural, but they can't stop the church. Because the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. You know what all you and I need to do? Just do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Micah 6:8. Say, oh, I'm so worried about the election. Stop listening to the news. One of our men said, Pastor, every time I turn on whatever, my blood pressure goes up. I said, stop it. Stop it. I just want to slap him. Say, how can I get peace, preacher? Stop listening to the news. Stop reading the newspaper. Stop going to your conservative websites that are telling you the world's coming to an end. Hey, I can tell you the world's coming to an end. It's going to be awesome. It is going to be so incredible when Jesus comes. We all want him to come, right? But we don't want it to get bad. If you've read the end of the story, he ain't coming until it gets bad. And I told my wife, I'm just excited. Whatever happens is gone. It's good. It is good. And you say, well, I've made some pretty big mistakes. Could I tell you, Jesus paid it all. I've disappointed the Lord. That's what the blood's all about. So I don't know if I want to face him, the messes I've made. Isn't it great that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Could you this morning trust that the Most High rules? You worry about that child, just pray for him, teach him, love him, and give him to God. Do everything you know how to do legitimately, and give him to God. You got these grandkids? Can I tell you this? They're not yours. I've got five so far. They're none of them mine. They belong to their grandma. We had our chance to raise kids. Now we give them. Now somebody else does it. I pray for them. I love them. And if they're bad, I'm going to make sure they get saved and God will take care of it. Now look, would you trust him today? The Most High rules. He really does. There's more. We could look at more. In three more times you can read this thing. The Most High rules. I am so relaxed. If you know what, if Jerry Brown gets elected again, I thought he died 20 years ago. It's like Ruth Ginsburg. I mean, could there be a picture of a Supreme Court with a dead person? Yes, she's right there. I pray for him. I keep a picture of him. I do. They're on my prayer list. They make laws for our land. Yeah, I pray for them. But she looks dead a long time ago. No fear. No fear. Could you do this? Most of you, you know what you're going to get to do in a few minutes? Eat lunch. Isn't that great? You know how many people today are not going to get to eat lunch? Most of us are going to get in an air-conditioned car. and go to an air-conditioned home. God's been so good to us. Now, if we don't have any of that, he's still been good because he gave us his son and we have heaven. But, oh, could I get you today? Just stop the worry. You know, what you put into your head is what's causing you to worry. This book is not causing you to worry. That hymnal, I was going to have a hymnal. I forgot to bring it up. That hymnal in front of you, that's not making you worry. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's not causing you to worry. Oh, what peace do we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. That's not making you worry. That dumb television's making you worry. That radio's making you worry. Shoot that computer right square in the eye. You have access to every conservative news site in the world that's killing you. God's good. You know, some of you, you've Googled all your symptoms and you know 73 diseases you have. Can I say with Bob Newhart, stop it! Stop it! And what a God we serve. These things have I spoken unto you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have some tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know what? Daniel sat there, and he was the winner. He's been in heaven now for 1,500 years, more than that, 2,500 years. It's a good life. Child of God, if you're saved, it is a good life. You say, I don't have much money. You will. Not very healthy. You will be. My body's given out. Got a new one coming. It's going to be good. Eyes that'll see, ears that'll hear, feet that'll walk, no wheelchairs, no taxes in heaven. Isn't that something? I was going to say no liberals in heaven, but God will forgive all sin. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. Let's don't forget it. Father, bless us today.